Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to week number 5 recap here of the Tiger Mile League Report. I'm Rogelio Castillo. Signing me is Chris Brown, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever you're listening to the podcast. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the Tigers because I was not here Thursday. I didn't want to talk about the series a little bit with the Cardinals, but we'll get to that shortly. But plenty to get to around the system. But yeah, there's the series today against the ending against the Cardinals. It's just, it looked like the bullpen was just out of gas. But overall, good series for the Tigers as they're now 5-1 in the month of May. And they kick off a series with Cleveland tomorrow. So there's no off day, and they continue to roll on their road trip. So everybody, hello everybody on our YouTube. So if you want to participate in our Super Chats, of course, you know the rules. So if you want to donate, you get a...
exquisite.
And or...
that ball is good!
But I'm also, I got some Matt Shepard ones too from over the weekend. He had some really good calls, like the Matt Mason Englert. And I'm also, I didn't have a chance, but I'm going to put the Alex Lang, chill.
Oh, strikes. Yeah. Throw strikes and chill, or chill and throw strikes, something like that. Yeah.
Can I talk? But yeah, you were. But somebody, so yeah, there's a, in terms of the week-wise for the Tigers and across the system a little bit, two teams really stood out. Only Erie and West Michigan had winning records. Lakeland finished 0-6, and Toledo 1-5 on the week. Brutal.
Yeah, the different kinds of brutal, too. Toledo was just manhandled by Indianapolis. We've seen Pittsburgh has just a lot of good baseball players in their upper levels, the minors. We saw them in Erie when Altoona put it to the Seawolves. And this week, the Indianapolis Indians, they outscored Toledo. What is it? I got it right here. 41-15 in the 6 games. Just relentless offense. So, yeah, it was rough. I will get into the Lakeland later, but just about the most heartbreaking week you could possibly imagine. I think there were 4 walk-off losses.
Yeah, Lakeland had a tough week. It was even in terms from like a pitching standpoint. The pitching was slightly better, but yeah, we'll get to that. And yeah, I will say you're absolutely right, Alex, in our YouTube chat, basically saying Toledo's missing Ibañez right about now, and I would agree with that because even if you look at the numbers here, so we have what happened this week in Toledo. If you go to the numbers real quick, they definitely missed him. Andre Lipsius did step up and did pretty well. He went 6-17, but as far as Justin Henry Molloy, struggling a little bit, looked like he's pressing. But offensively speaking, that was really about it. There wasn't really much to highlight here this week.
Yeah, Corey Jones had a solid week. He's kind of a very Zach Short kind of player. 5-15, a double, a triple, a homer, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, and a steal. Played up the middle. But yeah, the guys they count on to produce haven't been producing. Justin Henry Molloy in the last 2 weeks is 7-42. That's a 167 batting average with 1 double, 1 homer, 5 walks, and 18 strikeouts. The league has adjusted to him. You were there. You saw it in person, what they were doing. And Indianapolis continued what Syracuse started. We're breaking balls inside, fastballs away, and Molloy hasn't adjusted back yet. And so that's one of those things we get call him up when he's putting up a 1400 OPS, and we understand that, but there's more to it than just the stats. And it's very important to see him adjust. Now, I think he will, but it's just going to take a little time. And once you see him adjust and start excelling again, I think that's when you'll see him be called up.
Especially over the weekend too, where a lot of people were upset with Jonathan Scope, and they're like DFA and bring up, and they have pictures of Molloy. And if you look at his stats, yes, I mean, we do post some of the, granted, sometimes on Twitter that might be the theater of illusion, but I think we're pretty honest when we say we post a good and a bad on there. And you would be correct. Jumping Jordan on YouTube, you're actually correct. I missed that. Corey Joyce did have a home run. But yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Oh, you did? You did mention it. Okay, my bad. But yeah.
Oh, I see. But he wasn't on that. Gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah. But in terms of what Walter brings up, call him up and figures out the adjustment. Yes, definitely.
That's what you want to see. The numbers are numbers. I put out a tweet a couple hours ago on my Twitter account. I didn't want to put it on the minor league account just because I didn't want to be like, I didn't want anybody to think I was being like overly negative or getting annoyed with call him up stuff. But like across the board, just about every player that we can think of for the Tigers the last few years, their OPS is 200 points lower in the majors than it is in AAA. Stats in AAA don't matter, really. We show you the highlights because that's what we do. We've talked about it before. Nobody wants to see like a routine groundout or a three pitch strikeout. That's not a highlight, but that's still happening quite a bit for all these guys. And until you see somebody you made the comp a while, I think last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, until you see them going like full JD Martinez, where it's just, okay, this is, they're no match for this level. It's 6 home runs in 7 games or whatever. Then they probably aren't ready to come up. And even then we saw Kerry Carpenter kind of destroy AAA. And he still struggles in the majors because the majors is very hard. So, yeah, you want to see the adjustments. That's the most important thing. It's my main criticism of Spencer Torkelson so far as a big leaguer is the length of time it's taken him to make any real adjustments. And it's just something that's hard to figure out when guys get that, if they ever do.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, what you understand is like if this is something where Wally's doing these numbers at the end of May, then, yeah, you can – it's all about timing. And when teams start doing their homework, that's when you really see that. And so I think sometimes we get so with the team struggling on the big league level, you can go out and say something. But one thing, the Tigers did make a statement this week, and it was a good case of Scott Harris F around and find out, was Spencer Turnbull got sent down to Toledo. And here's the thing with Spencer Turnbull going down to Toledo. I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was actually surprised. I thought that he would get another start to work things out. He's coming back from surgery, and maybe he was still figuring things out. But everything he had against the St. Louis here was still up in the zone. He got smacked around. He did generate 12 swings and misses, but it doesn't matter if you can't get your pitches down location-wise. He struggled with location again. But it was a surprise because during the Avila run, didn't really see them off. Guys got hammered and they stayed up because they didn't really have much of a choice. But Fiedo, who has been pitching well, and some of his numbers, and I did an article about it over at TigerMLReport.com. The numbers are encouraging and there's some good stuff there. And he did not too badly today, 4 2/3 innings out there against a pretty potent St. Louis offense. But yeah. Turnbull was sent down and he's going to try to figure things out. And so were you surprised by that, Chris, at all?
Absolutely. I hadn't even considered it, and I like Spencer Turnbull. I think he's got good stuff when he's at full power, but yeah, I think you said it. It was a message. There's a message there. And the message is basically now you can't apply it unilaterally because there are extenuating circumstances in some places, but the message is if you're not performing as well as we need you to, and you can be replaced, you will be replaced. And that goes for basically every level in the system, AAA, AA, high A, low A, majors. If there's somebody else and they had another body and Alex Fiedo, and Fiedo wasn't substantially better than Turnbull today, but he was an option. And so they said, Turnbull, go down and figure it out. And when you come back, give us more innings, because that's been the main issue. He's just not been going deep into games. He almost sneaked out of it yesterday. Was one out away from a nice comeback and then gave up another home run. I think I said it was just the second time in his career he allowed 2 home runs in a game. He's been famous for not giving up home runs. So, yeah, I'm sure that they want him to just get some things figured out in AAA and he'll be back. But, yeah, nobody's being given jobs here. Again, certain players aren't being given jobs. There are certain players who still have jobs because of their contract situation. Right? I said it before, you have Jonathan Scope where not making $7 million this year or whatever, he would have been sent to AAA already. He might not have made the team out of spring training based on his performance, but they're not just going to cut bait with a guy who's making a decent amount of money. But when guys who are and guys who can go down to the minors, they're going to send them down to the minor.
Yeah. And again, whether it's Fajedo or if it was.
Bless you. That's what I, you know, I was saying to you earlier today. I'm convinced myself, maybe I'm wrong, that had Tyler Nevin come up and actually performed to any reasonable level, that he may have taken Spencer Torkelson's place. I think Torkelson may have gone down to Toledo, but Nevin was like a 1 for 25. It was just, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But we're seeing Ibanez is getting far more playing time than Jonathan Scope is right now. Right.
Yeah. Ibanez has been performing. He's performing. He's been hitting and he could play multiple, almost the same kind of, actually play a little more. I think he could play one more position than Scope can. And what's interesting too, in yesterday, so in extra innings, Spencer Torkelson made a play where he threw it to third and got
really heady play.
Yeah. And really, and one of the things people were there were some people on Twitter saying that was a lucky play, but in reality, that was a really, I thought it was a smart play. Shows off. He did play third. He showed off his range, but was that fundamentally wrong, Chris? Am I missing something or?
People might say it's not worth the risk. He made the proper throw. I think it's a good baseball play if you get the guy out. Like it's not you airmailed the cutoff man or something that's just fundamentally wrong. You took a risk and it was a calculated risk and it worked out great. They're up by one run. You cut down the guy at third base so you don't have to pull the infield in. And if you get him, it's awesome. If you have a guy at first and third, there's not a huge difference, really. The run at first, I guess, would be the go-ahead run. But yeah, I was fine with it.
I was too. I thought it was a good, smart play. And it got the Tigers in a situation where they end up winning. And they almost did that today. They almost pulled it off today. And there was something too, Bruce James, I'm glad you bring this up. Thank you for bringing this up. If Turmel's at Toledo for 23 days, his eligibility for free agency is delayed for a whole year. And that was something I did not even consider until I saw that. I saw something about that earlier today. And then Bruce reminded us in the chat there. And
yeah, I think Eddie pointed that out. I saw Eddie Ibajek pointed out. Turmel's already 30. Like, I suppose you can get another year of control for him, but he's not a young guy anymore. So anyway, it doesn't hurt, but I really do. I don't think this is about service time manipulation. That might be a slight bonus. I honestly think this is, hey, you got to get better. And like I said, it doesn't apply unilaterally. You can make a strong argument that Nick Maton doesn't really deserve to be on the big league team right now, given he's hitting what, like 160. You had made a couple key errors today.
Really mental one. Just really simple stuff too.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. And we may see what that happened. I think right now they enjoy having basically just like 5-6 super utility guys on the team. It allows Hinch to really play some stuff. It worked out well today. You saw him, they brought in McKinstry. So the Cardinals countered with their left-handed reliever. He got McKinstry out, I think, or he walked him. He walked McKinstry and then Rogers hit the grand slam, right? Hinch played that really well. That's what he likes to do. Obviously, it didn't work out in the end because, I don't know, L. Alexander threw 8 pitches and then Engler could not, he didn't have any put away pitches today. So.
Thought he just looked gassed. He just looked one of those things where he just looked, I think the bullpen as a whole just looked gassed in general.
Yeah. I think the Engler was like a 12 pitch battle with Contreras and he finally got him. And that was awesome. But they better came out and probably told him like, hey, here you go. Great job. I'm giving you a breather. Roll up a double play. Let's get out of this. And so he threw a first pitch sinker and Donovan hit it 430 feet or whatever. Like, and then everything just went south from there. But I think you're right. They're playing a bunch of games. They got 3 more coming up without a break. Sometimes it's about when you play teams and you got to hope that the big league team can get some more innings out of the starters and take the series at Cleveland.
Yeah. And for the most part though, the starting pitching, Matt Boyd looked okay overall. It was just one of those things where I think coming into the weekend, you knew the Tigers would be screwed. And somebody was asking about in the chat whether or not, what was the chat? There was a Scope 0-for-16 with runners in scoring position. No way that's accurate. Yes, it is. Let's go to the board. Huh?
Yeah, we can go check real quick.
Yeah, no, yeah, I was going to say, I got it pulled up right here. So.
I hadn't looked into that.
Yeah, so right here, I don't know if you guys can see that, but let's see here. Yeah, right there.
Where is it scoring? 0-for-15 or 0-for-13? That was before today. Yeah. With mid on, it's 2 for 22. It's some of that is small sample bad luck, but
yeah, that OPS plusing note.
Yeah, you're not winning any favors if you're not going to drive runs in. And that's so Alex asked, he said, do you guys think Lipsius could get the call up anytime soon? I don't think, like you said, with Short up now, with Ibanez up now, with McKittrey, with Maton, I don't think they want or need any other kind of infield help, really.
Right.
Now, maybe if they want to replace Short with Lipsius, I could see that. Short has a little bit more defensive versatility. But I think if they were to send somebody down and call somebody up, I think it would be a pitcher at this point. I don't know who, but I think they'd bring up another arm. Maybe Garrett Hill again, maybe Brendan White. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Brendan White. Brendan White didn't even get a chance to pitch that much. He didn't pitch at all when he was called up for the doubleheader.
Yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind seeing him get some major league action. But for the most part, it's been essentially, as far as even like Parker Meadows or anything like that, people are going to ask. Same thing, his numbers. If you look at some of his advanced numbers, they're not looking, they're looking better, but they're not call up numbers.
No, he's not doing a whole lot of anything on offense, really. I think he was 4 for 21 this week with a triple, couple stolen bases. He's shredding water, but he's not even an above average AAA hitter right now. So he'll need some more time to get hot. We saw what he did in spring training.
Yeah.
He's got some talent, but things get real when the games get real. And so he's going to have to prove it at some point.
We are going to be talking about the top 25 because we did re-release that. So we'll be talking about that probably towards the end of the podcast. As it was May 1st, we did a relaunch of it, and we'll go over the who's and whys and all that jazz in a little bit. But yeah, overall, like I said, Erie will now head to Iowa to take on the Cubs. And it looks like it's well needed in terms of pitching side of things. Nothing really stood out. Matt Whistler, 3 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts, but everybody else was just eh.
Yeah,
it wasn't Whistler stand out.
Whistler was the only reliever other than Jake Higginbotham, who came up today and pitched 1 1/3 scoreless. Whistler was the only pitcher to throw more than one inning and not give up a run this week. Everybody else got tagged for at least one run. Even Brendan White had a really strange week. It was like 4 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, no walks, but 8 hits and 2 home runs.
Yeah.
Indianapolis just really brought their bats and took it to Toledo this week. So hopefully they can take it out on Iowa next week in front of Youp, possibly.
Yeah, I definitely think Youp will be there. Knowing him, I know he'll be there and cheer on the Mud Hens. Or like last year, I think we saw him on television too. I think he was in the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely saw him.
Yeah.
Where he was sitting, you could see him. It was funny.
Yeah, you can.
I think he was chilling, eating popcorn or something. I think you caught him in mid snack or something.
Either popcorn or peanuts. One of the two.
It was funny. We pointed it out. Although I don't know if you thought that was funny, but anyway. Yeah. But either way, it was a good. Again, nothing really to write home about in Toledo. Let's move on to Erie and Erie had a big week, and I'll because Tyler Montero was assigned to Erie, made a start. Didn't pitch too bad. Had some issues with walking command. And then they activated Dylan Dingler from the IL, and Dylan Dingler had a week. 9 for 18, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, 500. And Chris Adamas, Nostradamus here. We predict, I'll let you take the credit for this. I think Chris will say it here that there might be a chance that Dylan Dingler might win rack up another award.
I looked at that. There's a chance it would be the 4th for Erie this year after Workman, Cabrera, and Cruz. But as good as the week Dingler had, Ethan Wilson went 12 for 25 with 3 doubles and 3 home runs this week. So I'm thinking it's going to him. But if it doesn't go to him, it'll probably go to Dingler. So I give him strong odds to be number 2. It's more hits in more games with more power. I think he'll get it. But we'll see. But yeah, it was a good week offensively all around for most people. You got right there, Perez 9 for 18. I think he had a double, more walks and 3 strikeouts, I think. On base a lot. Colt Keith, you got him there. Yeah, 7 for 26, couple home runs, couple doubles. Just 1 walk and 8 strikeouts. Teams are really seem to be tempting him with high fastballs, it seems like. And he'll either miss them, pop them up, or stay off, but then be vulnerable to breaking balls in the dirt. So that seems to be something that he's going to have to make an adjustment to. But he's Colt Keith, So he still gets his hits. It's like Riley Green, right? Like he can look awful, but he'll still get one or two hits a game just by poking the ball and finding some grass. That's the kind of hitter Cole Keith is.
Yeah. And the reason why, I mean, like some of, like I said, it was the, I'm trying to find the home run now. And the reason why I wanted to mention that is because it was one of those things where, to me, when it was, because he had a grand slam, or not, he didn't have a grand slam. I made a stupid joke about him participating in Denny's breakfast because he had a home
early
run.
Game.
Yeah, it was an early game. It was 11 o'clock game. I think it was on Wednesday, I believe it was. And he just totally 100% demolished this thing. And he also had an opposite field home run this week that was just impressive.
Yeah, Bowie seems like a fun place to hit. It's 309 down both lines. So it's pretty shallow in the corners. And I think Erie hit like a dozen home runs this week.
Yeah, no, and in terms of even one differential for Erie, it's still kind of grim. I think they're minus 37. But the reason why I didn't mention it is because, quite frankly, there wasn't really, you saw that Flores had a decent start, but he was laboring through, and Ty Madden.
Yep, both Madden and Flores have just been middling at best since Flores for most of the year. In Madden, in every outing since his dominant first outing, they just aren't. I don't know what it is. Their velocity is down a little bit. They're just not dominating the way they have shown in the past. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why. Maybe they're getting tired. Maybe they didn't ramp up properly. Maybe it's just who they are. I don't know. But yeah, it's been a little bit disappointing. But for the most part, the starting has been fine. For most of the year, it's been the bullpen that is, for whatever reason, is just getting demolished. And they got Brent Herter and one very nice start this week and one rough start this week. And the rough start was today. He gave up 2 3-run homers. And his overall numbers in the season are still really good. I think it's like a 2.45 ERA in 25 innings. He's been pitching really well. But what you saw today is our concern with him, I guess, why it's tough to project him as a starter in the big leagues. He's got some deception. He's got pretty solid command. He just doesn't have the blow away stuff that is going to get guys. And saw today, basically second time through the order, they just started bombing on him. And it's tough for anybody to face a team twice in 6 days. But yeah, I don't know if he's a guy who's going to be able to survive getting through an order 2-3 times a bunch. But I do think he'll be a useful kind of swingman reliever down the road who may eventually get some starts. Kind of a Tyler Alexander with a little more funk.
Yeah, I could totally see that too, because if his location's on, he's pretty effective. But there's a question in our chat from Shawn Michael is, if Dingler continues to hit, how does that change the catcher plans? To be honest with you, until, you know what, I'm not going to declare, I want to see this for a month straight. If he continues to just, I want to wait a month. I don't want to make a declaration. If he does continue, like if we're going to make a hypothetical situation here, I think it would force the Tigers to think about it in the sense of maybe possibly you got to see what he does at the major league level too, because you can't just anoint him right away. As you said earlier, showing the stats of that transition, until I see a comfortable transition from the minors to the majors, it's just to me, I think that the Tigers right now are really going to go with much veteran catching prowess as they can. If Dingler came up and just absolutely destroyed, great. But again, this is, we're talking a little bit of time here before we say anything like.
Yeah, and we've actually seen Dingler perform like this in AA before. His very first trip to AA when he came up from high A 2 years ago, his first couple of weeks were awesome. I think he was at Akron. He was hitting for power, hitting for average, and then it's just off a cliff. And it's been really up and down for him ever since then. He had a hot May last year, but then really struggled again. And we just need to see more consistency from Dingler. We know he's capable of, he's got plenty of power. He's got some hitting ability. The defense is going to be, I don't know, if this continues, like you said, for another 2 months, then I think that, yeah, you're looking at him as potentially your starting catcher in a year or two. And probably Rogers, the backup, and Haas, I don't know, moving on, or more outfield. But Yeah, we just need that. We need more time to he's just, this is his basically third year in double A. So like to see him dominate double A for 2 months and then get up to triple A and keep hitting.
Yeah. Cause I think if he forces the issue at triple A, that you could see one of the veteran catchers maybe go elsewhere,
yeah,
make room for him. But again, until I don't know, I would like to just see just a whole month of this, him just raking the ball and tearing it up a little bit more before he goes up to Toledo. But again, even one of the things too about Dingler too is that in terms of, you mentioning how streaky he is too, defensively it was a night and day change from him, because Crouch got sent down to West Michigan and I thought he was calling a better game throughout the week.
Yeah, I think that the Dingler does a lot of the things that catcher that you want. I think he's a pretty good framer. Like he works really well with the pitchers, calls a good game, got a very strong arm. Crouch is a strong arm too. But, and Dingler is a solid, he's not like good major league level blocking. I think he's okay. I think it's probably his weakest part, the weakest part of his catching game, but it's better than Crouch at that. And so, yeah, I mean, it was a defensive upgrade for him and an offensive upgrade. Crouch just seemed to be in over his head at the plate, which still shocks me, and the defense was an upgrade. So it was a no brainer for Erie. And yeah, I don't know. It's what you want to see from Dingler, right? He came up and just kept hitting, which is great to see.
Yeah, and they definitely needed it. Erie needed a good week, despite it's just going, again, Bowie taking advantage of the right field fence. And Bowie's got some pretty good prospects, too. The Bay Sox have Kieran Hurtstadt. What's that shortstop's name, too? They have a couple infielders, too. I'm trying to blank right now.
They have Prieto. They had Kobe Mayo, who got kicked out of the game today. I don't know how they got Anthony Cervidio, who I wanted a couple of years ago in the draft instead of Trey Cruz, but I think hasn't worked out all that well in pro ball. The guy who was pitching today is considered one of their top 20 prospects, Chase McDermott. He was carving him up for 5-6 innings. It's a talented farm system with some good players in there. And I don't know, they had some pretty good rivalry last year. Some of those guys stayed around, some of them moved up, but. Yeah, it was a good week for Erie, I think, in general. But 4-2, right?
Yeah, 4-2. Yeah, and they're still under 500, and they're still, like I said, as I mentioned, they just really weren't. Again, the bullpen, Erie's bullpen wasn't bad too. Wolf had scoreless. I think he tossed 4 scoreless innings this week, and he definitely needed that. But Montero showed some good stuff. But like I said, it was just maybe nerves or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I think it was a pretty typical, I think, start from somebody who's jumping up a level. So what it was, he went like 4 1/3. What was it? Five runs?
Went 5. Yeah. And by the way, all the minor league pitchers now can go 5 or more innings. Yeah.
So 5 hits, 4 runs, 5 walks. And so that one tells me he's not a guy who's that wild generally. That tells me he was, sometimes guys jump up a level and they give the hitters a bit too much credit, right? They nibble a little bit too much. They're trying to get him chased too much. And that may just be something that Montero needs a couple starts to shake off to trust his own stuff and get more outs in the zone. But it's pretty typical, and it's nice to see that him get called up. He's just like a month or two shy of his 23rd birthday, so he's still pretty young and pretty promising, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, and also another thing just worth mentioning, it was strange to see Gage Workman, it was a couple of weeks ago, he was on fire. And all of a sudden, he's been cooled off, and he only made his first start this week, or today, rather. He only made his first start of the week, so they've been giving a lot of time to
Willie Santana.
Yeah, Santana, and just been trying everybody else out there, yeah.
Trey Cruz has been playing. Yeah, what did we say earlier? This is the Scott Harris regime. Perform, or you're not playing.
Yeah.
And it's at every level. So, yeah, it's tough to perform when you're not playing, but to Workman's credit, so he didn't play the first 5 games of the series. Came in today, hit a home run in his first at bat. Came up later with the bases loaded and hit a sac fly to deep center. So you like to see that, but yeah, it's the sort of thing you've got to play your way out of. You can't be going a whole week with one hit. That's just not going to cut it.
No. And by the way, somebody asked Birdball 463 in our chat, does Dingler have any other secondary positions? He did play center field in college. But I don't know if he's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think he's played anything other than catcher in pro ball.
He's athletic enough, but
Yeah, he's a very good athlete for a catcher. Not quite like JT Realmuto level, but a plus athlete for a catcher, and probably would be okay in an outfield corner or at first base. You want him at catcher because he's got all the tools to be an above average defensive catcher. So you just keep him there and not mess around.
Yeah. So we move on to West Michigan, who also, they also had a good week. They were 4-2 against Beloit, and they come home for their rivalry series against Lansing. We'll be out there on Saturday and Sunday. And overall for the week, Danny Soretti looking very comfortable out there. Two home runs, five RBIs. Josh Crouch, pretty comfortable back in West Michigan. Roberto Campos, I played at the beginning of the show. He had a really good defensive catch earlier, had the home run. And Carlos Pena, who was named the Midwestern League Pitcher of the Month for the month of April. Again, this is some good stuff right here. Four innings, five hits, two runs, and eight strikeouts. Tyler Matson also had a pretty good week as well. And that's not indicative of the rest of the Wilco Hernandez also had a good week, five innings, one hit. He hit a batter and struck out six. And Trevin Michael, who came up from Lakeland, the veteran reliever, three innings, two hits, and five strikeouts. And I was trying to think of somebody else. Oh, who was the guy? Oh,
pitcher or?
I was trying to think of a pitcher. I was thinking of another pitcher. Oh, I was talking about Willander Monero, who he had an okay week too as well, but.
He made his first start in high A, Willander Moreno, yeah. Because Montero came up to double A, so they needed something to start. And yeah, it was what, four scoreless, I think? Four,
yeah.
Five hits, four strikeouts. Yeah, it was. I don't know if you're going to count on him to be a starter long term, but it helped. He pitched all right. Yeah, it's a good week for West Michigan. They also went 4-2, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They
over Beloit. Yeah, we talked about it. Danny Soretti, to me, is getting to that point of being like, okay, he's dominating this league. You got to move him up. It's for him. Okay, is he going to play every day in Erie? I don't know, but maybe he will. Maybe they sign Luis Santana because they don't actually think Soretti's as good as we might. But he's really just performing. He's a guy, I want to say, he only put in, I had it down. Yeah. So 9 for 19, two walks and one strikeout. He doesn't swing and miss very much. He's putting the ball in play and finding grass. I think he had a home run from each side of the plate this week. I think he's probably ready for double A. We thought he could get to double A to start the year because he made it to double A at the end of last year. So kind of reminds me as a player of Andre Lipsius, and it reminds me of a couple of years back when Lipsius started back in West Michigan and moved up to double A pretty quickly. I think he was one of the first guys to go up in 2021.
West Michigan.
But yeah, so here's Soretti's home run with the Ed Grimley stamp.
I think maybe
this was a bomb. It's a parking lot.
Way out of here.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But as far as Soretti goes, I think one of the things that I was talking to Mark about this, Mark Rudosh, who was like, he wasn't sure if Soretti was going to be anything. But I said he performed last year. He got the double A pretty quickly right after the draft ended. And that doesn't happen very often among Tiger draft picks at all. And he moved pretty quickly, especially because his organization seems sometimes to be, at least in my opinion, slow to move anybody up. And him to make that kind of progress pretty quickly was pretty outstanding. But
he's a guy, it just looks funny that those high hands, it just looks like he's going to get beat by velocity or breaking balls low, and then he just doesn't. But it's high A, and there's a big gap between high A and double A. But like I said, I think he's probably pretty close to being able to give double A a shot, more close than some of the other guys that from his draft class.
Yeah, and for Pena, that was another example of Pena's also an older prospect, but to be fair, we mentioned this before, he didn't get started till later in his pitching career. So West Michigan's rotation is arguably the best of the four affiliates right now. They just seem to have everything working for them. And even with the bullpen's still shaky at best, but still, this is a team at 16-11, and I think they're a game back of the Great Lakes Loons in the Midwest League. So as a collective, even with like guys like, for example, in terms of Jace Young this week, hit 190. Isaac Pacheco hit 158, so he was struggling a little bit. But they have the pitching pick up for him. This is a team that can have that happen for him, Chris. And you can't really say that about any other teams in the organization.
But yeah, it's odd because they're really, with Montero gone, there's not much in the way of prospect talent pitching in West Michigan. They're just a bunch of guys who are getting outs. And I talked about it before, Erie, it's reminiscent of Erie last year. Erie had some prospects over the course of the year, especially toward the end when a lot of guys got promoted. They had Olson all year. They just pitched well all year. And this year, the Tigers took the pitching coach from Erie, Dan Riffleball, and sent him down to West Michigan. And they look like Erie did last year. And I don't want to give way too much credit to the one pitching coach, but I feel like there might be some slight connection there where these guys are just pitching really well. He said Pena, 24, he's not lighting up the radar gun by any means. He might touch 90 once or twice a game, but he knows how to pitch. O'Loughlin is out there getting, his outings are always like 3 2/3 or 4 1/3 with 4 hits and 2 runs, but he's given them innings. Will has been pitching well. He had a really nice start this week with 5 scoreless with 6 breakouts, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're getting outs, and the offense, I think it helps to have kind of an older offense. You know, we might be talking about Cerretti. Chris Myers had a good week in limited action. Justice Bigby has been hitting fairly well. He didn't have a great week this week, but and Steele Walker, he's supposed to be in AAA. He went 9 for 25 this week. I don't know when he's going to finally end his rehab assignment in high A, but he's a AAA player. He was in the major last year, so I think they're getting over with a little bit of age there. But the young guys are playing well too. And at least you said Pacheco struggled, and Campos's numbers don't look super impressive, 5 for 20. But we had somebody ask us how he's looking, you know, and he said basically he is far more advanced than I expected. You don't really see it in the walks and strikeouts, for he's not like walking a ton, but it's because he's super aggressive in the zone. And you made the connection to Colt Keith. Yeah. And it really does remind me of that. He's a guy that he's getting strikes, he's swinging it and swinging at them and hitting it hard. And so today he went 1 for 6. He saw 22 pitches and 6 at-bats, which sounds bad, except he hit a home run, and at least 4 of the other balls were hit hard. The guy made a sliding catch in the outfield. He hit a ground ball right into the shift for a double play. He's hitting the ball hard and not getting rewarded for it as much. But I've been very impressed with him, where you can contrast it with Jace Young, who didn't have necessarily a great week, but he saw 26 pitches today and 5 at-bats. But had more swinging strikes than Campos did. He swung through. Campos had 2 swinging strikes and 6 at-bats. Young had 4. Neither of them are awful, but I'm just saying, he's not missing strikes when he gets them.
Yeah.
Campos, that is.
And that's where I think the reason why I was looking at his numbers, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to look at Colt Keith for a moment, about the same period of time. And he was actually he's slugging at a higher percentage than Colt Keith did. So I don't think he's talked about enough. I'm sure Lynn Henning will probably do a piece here shortly and then say he's known all along. I'm not sure. But either way, I think they give the guys due for his age, able to adjust into a climate he's never played before either. I thought that was important to mention, that he had a really good month, and that sometimes you look at the numbers, and if you're looking at, he's batting 260, but then you look at WRC+, if he's good, how he's doing defensively, those kind of things. And they throw batting average out the window. Not all the time.
No, yeah. Sometimes batting average tells you some important stats. With him, it's eventually, I think he's going to be hitting even better. I just think right now he needs to take one more step up with the plate discipline. And that is to lay off pitches that he can hit hard in favor of pitches that he can destroy, that's what turns you from a good hitter to a great hitter. And he might not ever get there, but that's really the only thing he needs to do, which is remarkable for a guy who's not yet 20. Like I said, he might be, outside of Cerretti, I think he's probably the best hitter in that lineup right now, which is wild to say. Pacheco, unfortunately, I thought the same thing about Pacheco about 3 weeks ago. And since then, he's looked just lost. Keeps lunging at breaking balls and swinging through fastballs, and I don't really know what to make of it, other than he's just fighting it right now. But he's still playing pretty solid defense. And Campos continues to play good defense in center field, which is, again, something I wasn't expecting. It was like, he's a corner outfielder. He looks like a legit center fielder right now, which is wild.
Yeah. His closing speed on that catch from earlier was pretty good. Yeah. And Pacheco tried dyeing his hair. He's changed his number. So he's trying everything. And yeah, I'll give him a lot of props for that, because baseball players, as you may or may not know, are superstitious. So, again, he made a really good defensively, he's been solid. So there is that. But yeah, you want to see the bat come around a little bit. And so hopefully against Lansing, that series is always fun when they play Lansing, whether it's in Lansing or at West Michigan. We get to see Jesse and really Dan have an element that play off each other pretty well. So, but go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, yeah, it's fun that they're playing Lansing this week, and then they're playing first place Great Lakes at Great Lakes next week or the following week. So it's staying in the state for a little while after a 12-game roadie. It's good for them, and yeah, it'll be exciting. We'll probably get out to some games.
Yeah, I'm going to probably definitely go out to Midland. I went out there already. I went for Midland and South Bend a couple weeks back, and that's a really good team, and they came back from South Bend was up like 5-0, and they came back and made it a ball game. So I wanted to apologize to Stan, who I was going to meet him up at the Tigers game, but work and all these different circumstances. I know he's in the chat tonight. I don't see him in there. So I apologize. Mm-hmm. But if you're listening, Stan, my apologies to you. But I didn't want to forget that. Moving on to Lakeland, and Lakeland did not have a good week at all. They were 0-6 against Clearwater. A couple, like what Chris mentioned earlier, some one-run losses, but IL-wise, too, here's Eduardo Ibarra, who I was just talking about last week, was on the IL. Chris Williams Jr., who got lit up in his last start, also hit the IL. Eduardo Gonzalez was signed to Lakeland. But as far as, somebody asked in the chat, Sergio wants to know, is Benitez a legitimate prospect? Nah, I don't think so. I think that as much as it hurts me to say because he's a Cuban and I'm as a fellow Cuban, what have you, but he's too old for what he's doing right now. And I think that last year when he was up at West Michigan, he really struggled a little bit. But he could be, it could change. I don't know. Maybe he could be on the radar, but I haven't seen him in person yet. Outside, we will get a chance to see him this week because they do play Bradenton on the road. So we'll get the chance to see that. But I don't think right now he is.
Yeah, he's just a little bit advanced for that level. He's a quality player with some fringy tools. But yeah, I think Carlos Pellegrin was actually more physically gifted than Benitez. But Benitez is playing well, and they certainly need that. He had a good week.
Yeah, but then even Manuel Sequeira, who actually walked a couple times this week. Hey, listen, I know that sounds like make a backhanded compliment, but I'm not. It's just good to see because this guy hasn't walked. But he continues to hit. Sequeira's having a pretty good start to the season. And after Santana got his numbers up last week, Santana, not a good week at all.
And then he got injured. We don't know exactly what happened, but he left after his first at-bat. I think it was a strikeout, actually, and then left the game and didn't play today. That's unfortunate timing because we just saw him a couple weeks ago against St. Lucie and looked really bad. But superstitions definitely do not do a league of your own and not change your socks for weeks. Yeah, it. I don't know. I was hoping that we might see Santana make some adjustments and look better this week, but we might not see him at all, unfortunately. We'll find out if maybe it's a minor injury or what. But yes, Sequeira's been picking it up a little bit. You mentioned the two lefties in the rotation both got hurt. That's not great. I don't know. They may end up moving some of the, like Max Alba or Garrett Epker, some of the guys who've been pitching out of the bullpen, or Cam Brown, they may move them into the starting rotation or something like that. But you never want to lose multiple pitchers in 1 week at any level. That's not great. But I want to break down for people who didn't follow this. They went 0-6 this week, but I just want to explain how heartbreaking it was. So on Tuesday, they're up 5-4, and they gave up 2 runs in the 8th and lost 6-5. Wednesday was a blowout loss. It was just ugly. Thursday, they lost 3-2 on a walk-off in the 10th. Friday, they were up 5-3 in the 9th and lost 6-5. Saturday, they were down 5-2. They scored 3 runs in the 8th to tie it, then lost 6-5 in the 10th. And today, they were up 7-6 in the 9th and lost 8-7. Just, they couldn't close out a game to save their lives. They could have gone 5-1 this week, but instead went 0-6. Just brutal.
Yeah, it was one of those things, too, especially for a team like Lakeland, who's got a lot of young guys in there. Complex, by the way, Mitch wants to know if Complex League's started yet. They start, I believe, next month.
Yeah, usually first or second week of June.
Yeah, they haven't announced the schedules yet, but usually that was the case. That has been the case recently. But no, it was another interesting thing about Lakeland this week is so I noticed a pitcher by the name of Iker Uzi. Hopefully, I'm saying that right.
Iker Hoisey. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. He was originally with the Mets, and then he was with the Twins, and then he was all in Dominican Summer League. And then the Tigers come out of nowhere. The Tigers announced they signed him to a contract, and then he got signed in Lakeland. And yeah, he went out there and pitched. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see him this week, but that was out of nowhere.
It is a kind of a fun last name, Huizi. Iker, who is he? But looks like he was released by the Twins in 2021 and signed as a free agent with the Tigers in May of 2022. And this is the first time he's pitched in the organization this year. So maybe he was injured and they signed him. They liked him when he was healthy. I don't know. But Iker, who is he? Got to dig it. But yeah, like the pitching, you have Troy Melton up there. Troy Melton is a guy we'll talk about in a little bit too, I think. It seems like he might be moving on eventually before too long. But yeah, I don't know, man. The Lakeland team as a whole is just kind of barren in terms of prospects. Really, we got Sequeira there, but just a lot of guys. Some guys, they're vaguely interesting at times. Ibarra was interesting, we thought, because he's young and a lefty and maybe he can grow a little bit. Carlos Marcano is young. We thought he was interesting. He got beat up today. Ulysses Campos looks like a potential fun reliever. He's been getting beat up. Marco Jimenez, potential fun reliever, getting beat up. It's just, yeah, it's a lot of, boy, if this guy could only do this and this, he might be interesting. It's rough. And I don't know. I don't know what that means for next year's West Michigan team, but I think that it's going to be filled with a lot of draft picks from this year, probably.
Yeah. I was trying to figure about debating whether or not when to go to Lakeland this year to figure out exactly when Lakeland will be the most interesting. And it sounds pretentious, but it's just the fact is that a lot of those guys I've seen down there, but in terms of some of the pitchers, no, I don't know. I'm hoping that my goal was that we head down there right after the draft and that whoever they pick at three is good enough that they can start in Lakeland. But who knows?
Yeah. No, I think that's probably a solid guess. Right. I had hoped that some of the guys who they drafted last year from the pitchers in the later rounds would be performing down there. And honestly, really some of the hitters, Peyton Graham hasn't been good. Luke Gold hasn't been good. They really haven't had performances from those guys. It's still early in the season, early May. Got to give these guys till July at least before you start to get really worried. But I thought maybe some of the Quinn Gauditis and Patrick Pridgeon and Cole Patton, who was the one dude I wanted to see. I think it's like my breakout, and then he's hurt, but he hasn't even pitched. I've gone and forgotten his name, but kid from Liberty. It just, none of those guys have really stepped up. So it's we're not watching Lakeland really, but it seems like it's probably a tough watch. I have to ask Sherry and Terry.
Yeah, I know that Sherry's expressed that it's not been exactly a picnic down there, if you will. Yeah.
But
yeah, that's like where they're at right now, essentially.
That's the state of things. But
yeah,
as we said, we foreshadowed before, I don't know if there was anything else you wanted to talk about with Lakeland or any other team.
Nah. Again, Tigers do start a 3-game series with Cleveland starting tomorrow, and then they come home against Seattle later in the week. So I'll be down there for that and hopefully get some that. But on further ado, Chris, let's talk about this top 25.
Yeah, so Some people who do prospect lists update them every month. Some people update them as graduation happens. Some people don't update them at all for a whole year or wait until after the draft or whatever. We figured we might as well do one for May. We may do one every month. I don't know. We'll see. But in our case, we made the original list in November/December and I think added in a couple names, Justin Hinder and Malloy, after they traded for him. So it felt like it was time for an update based on spring training, based on the first month of games and what we've seen in our live looks. And just a couple of people we decided to pull out for various reasons. I think we dropped five people from the list. Joey Wentz, because he graduated, and we decided that Englert and Kreidler, I think they're technically still prospects or rookies, if you will, whatever. But we decided to drop them because that's probably going to be gone soon enough. And Jose De La Cruz and Elvis Alvarado both fell out, unfortunately, because just kind of they're injured. So they didn't haven't done much, and it just felt like we needed to get some new names in there. So those are the names. I don't think any of that is like crazy controversial. You could argue that we should have kept the guys who are still eligible in there, but who, you know, people who are reading that have seen these guys in the big leagues now. They know what Engler is. They know, they got a decent idea what Kreidler is. So we just thought it would be fun to add new names. So we added five new names. And not necessarily like super new. So we talked about some of the names we added, like Manuel Sequeira. We mentioned Troy Melton, Brendan White, Keider Montero, Garrett Burhan is the other one. Those are the five guys we added. Burhan, I think, is 25th right now. And I don't know. It's tough. He is pitching fairly well in high A. When I went and saw him in Lansing, and he's a sinker baller at like 91, 95. He's got a pretty good changeup and a slider that will flash. It's nothing special. In my head, I think he might actually be a pretty good reliever. He's a relieverish delivery as it is. Got like an arb stab and then just a lot of post-release movement or post-release movement. But I feel like he might throw a couple notches harder. I remember in the draft report, like he'd been up to 99 in Ohio State. So I feel like maybe you put him in the bullpen as a sinker slider guy. He's throwing harder and he might have something there. But it's indicative of the relative shallowness of the system, right? Like, I don't mean to be mean or anything like that, but this is a guy who's a potential reliever that we're having as the 25th prospect in the system. And then the other guy, I think 24th, is Melton. Does that seem right?
That's right.
So Melton's another guy. He was their fourth rounder last year. Big arm, up to the upper 90s, basically in every outing. Sitting mid 90s, will touch 98. Up to 99, flash the other pitches, but none of them are terribly consistent. But he's a big, strong kid, like 6'4", 225, looks like a potential workhorse. I've made the comparison to Ryan Perry a couple times. Like, a guy like this used to get drafted in the first round because he threw so hard. But I think teams are a little bit smarter now about that. And so there's some ingredients there. I don't really know what to make of him just yet, but I do think we'll see him get promoted to West Michigan before too long. Yeah, he's too like physically gifted to be spending too much time in low A. And then the other guy we put in the back end of the top 25 was Manuel Sequeira. And I don't know if you want to talk about him, Raj, since you've been a little bit higher on him than me. We both had him in our top 25s, but you had him a little bit higher.
Yeah, and the reason why I've been a little bit higher on him is because I just feel like there is a guy there who he led the Florida State League in home runs. I know that it's like not. It's not saying a lot. Or I'm not saying that. It sounds like what I'm trying to say is bad, but I think there's something to there. I know that he needs to walk a little bit more, but this is his second year. Is this his third year in Lakeland?
I think it's his second year.
Yeah, second year. It's second year in Lakeland. And I don't know. Like, I just, to me, he has a body. He has a good baseball body, if you will, just a huge presence. But at the same time, I think that he might top out at double A, maybe triple A, but for now, I don't know. I just believe in that bat. I think that there's something to be there. When you see Santana regressing a little bit, that's just, it gives you pause. So I'm just, at this point with the Tigers, you're hoping that, and it sounds like hope, and I'm not trying to say it's all hope, rather, but I don't know. I'm a fan of him, and I just think there's something there that can be worked on.
Yeah. Anytime you see a guy, it's rare power for anybody in the Tiger system at this age. He'll be 20 all year. He doesn't turn 21 until the end of September. Now they moved him out of the infield, basically. I think in to Santana and Graham and Gold and some of the other guys on the team that they just, all right, we'll throw him in left field. So he's been playing mostly left field this year. But the one thing he's doing is he's hitting for better average. And I think part of that is it's not, like we talked about with Campos a little bit, it's not a traditional sort of plate discipline thing, but I think he's doing a better job of picking out balls that he can get for hits. Because he's a guy who's had plus bat to ball skills. That's why he doesn't walk very much. He can hit basically everything. The Tigers have had an army of guys like that over the last 10 years, right? Up in every level. These guys who are just super aggressive because they can hit the ball. And what you end up doing is a lot of detrimental, weak ground balls and pop flies and things like that. So if he's hitting for a higher average, that's encouraging to me. Still, like you said, he's still not walking a ton, but he walked a little bit. Power starting to show up, averages up. I think you're right. I think he's one of the more interesting young bats in the system. You have to do a lot of projection, but he's still young and very limited in his experience. He's the same international class as Roberto Campos. And so he missed the Complex League or missed the Dominican Summer League. She came straight up for the Complex League like Compost did. So there may be a bit of a learning curve there. But yeah, I think he's an interesting bet and a guy to keep an eye on. The other two guys who jumped in the system or jumped in our top 25, Brendan White jumped from out of it to, I think, all the way up to 15th. And that way, I think part of that is just a reflection, I think, of maybe our lack of excitement about the bottom 10 of the system, if you will. And also, I think there's a little bit of, we didn't have White in our top 25 before. We had Alvarado 25th, and they were both pitching in AA last year. They both looked good in AA last year. White wasn't throwing quite as hard as Alvarado, but he had the much better secondary pitch, right? Alvarado was just trying to find something. Alvarado's been hurt, and White got added to the 40-man. So that kind of showed us, right? The Tigers believe he's a prospect or a potential big leaguer. So I think we added him to the system based, a lot of it's that, right? Just, okay, the Tigers believe in him, so we probably should too. And we see him, he pitches well. It's a two-pitch reliever look. And I'm fairly confident when he gets to the big leagues that they'll figure out a way to make him at least moderately successful, but it might be like 70% sliders.
If there's one thing that if there's eventually what they could do with somebody like that is just make them into a one pitch machine, then I'm fine with it. If they get some use out of it.
Yeah. Matt Whistler basically has been there in the big leagues the last couple of years. You see it's in AAA right now with the Tigers, but it's like a 2800, 2900 RPM slider that's has some good sweep to it. And it's not like he's throwing a nothing fastball. It's the mid 90s. So there's a useful arm there. And so we threw him in because that's the state of the system right now. And then the biggest jumper, at least of the guys we added, was Kader Montero, who I saw live in Lansing a couple weeks ago. I actually just put that video up on our YouTube channel. You could see it. It's from behind home plate, and that's in 4K.
Nice.
And then he actually got roughed up a little bit in that game, but he didn't get terribly helped out by his defense, and he hung some breaking balls. But then after that, he had two lights out starts. It was like 8 innings and 15 strikeouts, no runs, and got promoted to AA. And he's got a really good arm. Sits like 92, 95, will get up to 97. Has a 3,000 RPM breaking ball. We've seen it live a couple times. He doesn't always locate it very well, but he's got all the pitches too. He's got a changeup. He's got basically two breaking balls. He's got a two-seamer. He's got a four-seamer. He's just a guy with a little bit of a relievery finish to his delivery. Shorter, stockier. But he's been pitching really well, and he's got the starter's arsenal. So we're like, you know, what the hell? This is a pretty good arm. The Tigers seem to believe in him, so we're going to throw him in the middle of our list. He's, I think, probably our fourth-ranked starting pitcher in the system now, behind Joe Flores and Ned. Does that seem right?
Yeah. Let's see here. Eight. So.
What's the?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you can argue he's been pitching better than any starter in the system other than like Carlos Pena. But as we said, Carlos Pena is fastballs about 8 miles an hour slower than Montero's. So yeah, we thought we'd add him. So those are the names we added and the names that fell out. And I also put on list like the biggest fallers and risers. We want to touch on that.
I do want to touch on that because we did differ on, there was a couple, I had Joe down all the way down to number 10. And mm-hmm. I held it against him because he was injured, but also because lack of, I don't know, like it's, I don't know. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think I dropped him fourth. But yeah, he fell, what did he fall? Three spots, four spots overall on our list.
Fell out of the countdown.
Yeah, it's really tough to lose this development. And what's a bummer is that PJ Hinch came out and he had a quote that said, hey, he was doing everything we wanted him to. He was looking the way we wanted him to. Encouraging. And then to go down with this injury, and it's, I don't know, are backs important to pitching? Probably pretty important. And he's a guy who was really green anyway, right? He had made some strides last year, and he's got a wonderful arm. We saw it in person. He's just learning how to pitch. I compared him to Montero, really. They've got similar stuff and similar experience. But to lose that development, it was so badly needed for him this year. Tough. It's tough to until he gets out there in the mound again and proves that he's healthy and pitches well, it's tough to keep him as your number one, two, or three prospect in the system. So that's why he fell a little bit. We had Josh Crouch and Peyton Graham both fell three spots. Part of that is some of the guys coming in. Part of it is Josh Crouch, we talked about, just really did not look good. Double A, just I think he hit 170. Wasn't looking great on defense. It's unfortunate. And Peyton Graham, same thing, hasn't been hitting in low A, which you'd like to see a college bat do more than hit. He's another guy who's hitting, I think, 170, 180. Then maybe he's just making the adjustment to pro ball, but we're basing this off the first month of results. So if he improves, we'll add him or we'll move him up next time. But the biggest faller, we had Workman down four spots too, again, because it's just more of the same with Gage Workman. When he hits the ball, it's great. When he doesn't hit the ball, he's not doing anything. You get a little prospect fatigue there with him, right? It's just been too much of the same thing for too long. But the biggest faller was Christian Santana, who dropped seven spots, I think. And this was one where I think I dropped him more than you did. Part of that was me, you could say, overreacting to how bad he looked against the St. Lucie, where he went like 1-for-30 or whatever. He was in like a 1-for-36 slump. But some of that was led to me just looking at the way he was approaching his plate appearances, made me really worry about what he did last year, or think that maybe we overreacted a bit too much to the WRC plus last year, which was walk driven and power driven, and not focus enough on him hitting 215.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, he's an 18-year-old, right? He's super young. That's fine. He'll get better this year. But instead, so far, what we've seen this year is what led to the 215 is still there. And it's a swing that is way too uphill. It's just nothing but pop-ups from him this year. And so that's discouraging. And I've never really thought he was a shortstop. I think he's a second baseman. So you gotta hit. And he just hasn't yet.
And not even, what concerns me too is the fact that he looks just, it might be between the ears too. I don't know, but he's been way too aggressive at the plate.
Yeah, it's just basically nothing going right this year. We thought he'd picked it up a little bit after the terrible week. And then, like you said, then it was down again and then he got hurt. Now, and he dropped from like 4th to 11th. So we're not like, oh, he's not a prospect anymore. It's just, we're just going to need to see some more before we get super excited about this kid. And he's still very young, still plenty of time. But it's just like more of a pump the brakes, right? Okay, let's wait a little bit on here. Now, on the other hand, we have the risers. We had five guys rise pretty well. Soretti moved up three spots. Herder moved up four spots. Part of that, again, is just the guys moving because other people fell out, right? They've been performing well, so you give them a bump as needed. Parker Meadows jumped up six spots to number two, which is interesting because he hasn't been performing terribly well in AAA this year. But a lot of that, I think, was based on how he looked in spring training. Really driving the ball, hitting well, and a reconsideration of the fact that he's a center fielder. And he's going to play quality center field defense at the major league level. That right there gives you a pretty substantial floor if you hit a little bit. And he's not quite doing that right now, but we saw plenty of it in spring. We saw it in the Arizona Fall League a little bit. He picked up his fourth stolen base this year, so he's going to run a little bit. He's still a guy with 20-20 ceiling playing center field defense in the big leagues. That's a very valuable player. I don't know if he'll get to that, but it just felt like that sort of potential should move him up on our list. So that's why I believe he's number two now, right?
Yeah, he's number two, yeah.
Yeah, and then the biggest mover of all, Roberto Campos, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Went from 18th. We were a little bit skeptical on him before, wanted to see it. Seen it in spades so far this year. He's been the most impressive player in the system to me so far this year. And that includes Justin Hiram Malloy, Colt Keith, and those guys. I'm not saying he's better than them, but the way he's performed and looked compared to my expectations, he's outshone anything like my wildest dreams, really. I did not expect this from a kid coming up north for the first time, playing in high A for the first time, playing center field most of the time. I think for this kind of power and yeah, it's just really impressive. And you wrote the whole article about him, so do your thing.
No, to me, Roberto Campos is a combination of speed, power, and I'm not going to lose the play of tool. I'm not saying that because I think sometimes when people say that, they get caught up. He just has all the right tools. He doesn't look overwhelmed, and he's been able to handle the plate well. And when he is he doesn't lounge at bad pitches. Every once in a while, he can just jam them inside. But I think for his age, again, he doesn't turn 20 till I believe in July. He's been able to handle everything. And even at center field, like his defense really, to me, if you look at him, he looks like a corner outfielder. And he's projected to be one. He's handled center field pretty well. And one of the things that I noticed about that is that for his size, he said he moved like a deer. And he does. He's really quick out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think you'll get a plus time from him running to first base. Like he's not a speed burner, but it's definitely like average speed. And then on the hoof, it's plus speed. Like when he's moving, he's got he's got multiple triples, plenty of doubles this year. And like you said, he's been playing really good defense in center field. And these are not small center fields in the Midwest League.
Yeah.
Wasn't
West Michigan have the biggest center field? It's bigger than Comerica's.
I don't know if it's bigger than Comerica's, but it is. It's very large. I don't know. Very well could be.
I think because I remember, I think Casey told us that. And I think we were talking about that with some. We had this conversation before.
They're moving in the fences as part of the ballpark renovation there because they don't think it's terribly fair. I think somebody said that there's never been a big leaguer to hit a home run there. Like a rehabbing big leader has never hit a home run at LMCU ballpark.
Wow.
It's an enormous field. You can pull the ball a little bit, but yeah, balls go to die in center field. So yeah, he's playing that well and just hitting the ball really hard consistently. And it's really fun to see. So we put him in our top five. We talked about it. Like if he keeps performing like this is a potential top 100 prospect in baseball.
Yeah.
Because it's all there right now. He might struggle a little bit, but in my mind, what he's shown so far, I just feel like he's just going to get better over the next couple of months.
I completely agree with that. If you look at next guy, we're always trying to look for the next, I don't say the next prospect, just whatchamacallit.
The next dude.
The next dude or anything, but you can't help but notice his performance. It's just a matter of look at some of the other bats in West Michigan. We've been big fans of Isaac Pacheco. There's Young's been hitting with power, but you just have to keep coming back to Castro. I just think that Campos has done a really good job of demonstrating all aspects of the game, what you like to see, and for his age, that's why to me it's exciting because the Tigers have a young group under 21 that's actually being productive. And that is a great, great sign. Again, this system this year has been not as we expected another step forward from Wilmer Flores. We got really excited when we saw that Ty Madden's first start because it was like, holy bleep, it looked really good. And then everything's just faded off. But Campos just goes every week, week in, week out, and has been doing his thing. And that, to me, is just that says something about not only his ability, but this our top five in general. Cole Keefe maybe has some bad weeks, but the at bats, the quality at bats are really still there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cole Keefe is a hitter. He's gonna hit. He'll hit at every level. It may take him a while. He may struggle at times. He might not always hit for a ton of power and a ton of average at the same time, but he's gonna hit. And that's why he's been our number one for a while. We really believe in the bat. He's playing decent. Third base, decent enough. We put together a super cut. He had an unusually busy day at third base in one of the games in Bowie. And the first five plays were all unorthodox plays. Like he had to go far in one direction or the other, strange hops. He made them all. And then he got a ball, went under his glove later, and he pulled the guy off the first base. But I think the first baseman was like 5'10". So I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway there. But yeah, with Keith, it's in the potential to play third. And with Campos, we're starting to get that feeling about the bat. The best way I can say this is the numbers are good, but the looks are great. Right. And that's why we think that the numbers are going to get better. Who knows? I can't see the future. Maybe the league will adjust to him. Maybe he'll start pressing, but I feel pretty good about Roberto Campos right now.
I do too. And I, like I said, it's one of those things where I look forward to going out there this weekend and just seeing what's going on, and hopefully we get some better looks. We've seen him what, twice in person already, or was it just once?
So let's see. Well, we went out. I was out there on opening day. And then did we go out? We went out again on my bald tires through a rainstorm. That was great. And then I saw him a couple times in Lansing. So we've seen him collectively five times, I think. And yeah, just looks good every time. The first game we saw, he was getting the ball the other way, like consistently, just finding some grass. And then now he's really starting to drive the ball and put it in the air. Not towering fly balls, but he's backspinning it to the gaps and just deep center. It's impressive. Like his home run today was probably 390 feet. I don't know. I didn't get a measurement on it, but he was deep left center into the bullpen.
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the things that I want and the podcast with really is that as far as this upcoming week goes with the affiliates and everything, one name I want to look at too, or another name I want to look at too, in Erie, in terms of just from a standpoint of whether or not injury update with Dylan Smith and some of the injuries that have been going on, because the injuries have seemed a little earlier this year than normal. So I'm interested to see if we get any updates on that, because it's been very vague with that. Yeah, Malloy, just for the record. Okay, so Malloy, I did some other deep digging, and I'm trying to be no problem, Sir Dusty. Thank you for participating. Thank you for listening. Against lefties, he's hitting 156.
Who is this?
This is Malloy? Yeah, Malloy's hitting one. He's not hitting against lefties either.
That goes back to the thing I've been saying for a while. For whatever reason, and it's a strange weakness to me, or at least you don't see it very often, like breaking balls inside give him all sorts of fits.
Yeah.
Inside and in the zone.
Because he can't extend his hands. His swing is still, if you notice about his swing, it tends to like just, sometimes almost like it stops and puts the barrel out there and wait for it to happen. Because a lot of those sinking line, he hits a lot of sinking line drives, if you notice.
He does. He's got quick hand, and which allows him, and he's got a good eye. So he's not chasing a ton, but I think he's been chasing more lately because he's feeling it now. He's struggling. And I think he'll be fine, but you just got to hold your horses, guys, because I understand the guys in the big leagues aren't performing, but again, big league pitchers are incredibly good. They've got detailed scouting reports. They're going to destroy you if you have any weaknesses. And if Malloy is struggling in AAA right now, you better believe that he'd be struggling in the majors. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to bring a guy up and play him every day and then have to send him down 3 weeks later because he goes 1-for-50. It's not great.
And to be fair, with 600 at bats, majority of those have been at either high A or double A. I believe so, correct, Chris? Because he just went to AAA for what?
Malloy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got 130 at bats in AAA total. He's a good hitter, and he'll be a good hitter, and he walks, and he's patient. He'll be a good addition to the offense, but I don't think he will be a good addition to the offense right now. If they called him up, I'd be very excited that they would think he's ready. But from what we've seen the last couple of weeks, he's struggling, but it's not. I think there's a reason they called up Ibanez instead of Malloy, that they believe in his ability to hit major league pitching right now more than Malloy's. Also, they probably don't want to start his service clock, but.
Yeah. a little combi.
Yeah. Okay. Malloy will be up this year. Unless he gets hurt, he's going to come up at some point this year. He's not on the 40 man, which they may consider, but he'll be up. Just give him time. Give him another month.
And MX9 on YouTube, he said, I got fired up with a 5-game streak. I don't blame you. Look, this weekend was pretty good. Even after the loss today, Tigers played. That grand slam was a prime example. They were never out of the game. And then until the bullpen, obviously, today. But overall, they played some really exciting baseball. So I'm just as stoked as you are. As Alex, to answer your question, he asked if any news on the Kreidler's injury, nothing as of yet. So nothing has been updated from it asking around a little bit. So
a little knee bruise, was that what
knees
it was?
Bruise, yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I don't know. I think it would, a bruise that bad, probably take 2 weeks or so. Yeah, if Kreidler were healthy and he was starting to produce, remember we had noticed that small change in the swing. Yeah. I think you picked it up on. I think he may have already come up, and who knows what would happen. But yeah, this is part of it. There's a reason you have a full AAA roster of guys. You need some people to come up and help when other guys get injured. But yeah, one of the things I like to look at, and this we will end the podcast in a minute, is you just split the season up into 10 tens, right? the Tigers started 2-8 in their first 10 games. And since then they went, let's see, 5-5 in their next 10 games and win 6-4 in their next 10. And they've started this one 2-3 or something like that. So like you play 500, play slightly over 500 in 10 game stretches and you're going to be fine. They just had that slow start again, but they've been much better since then. They go from 2-8 to what? 15-18
and 18. They're competing
15-18. Yeah. So yeah. They've been 13-10 in their last 15 games. 13-8
game.
Yes. My math is terrible.
No, my math. I'm not even going to math. It's a terrible division, and they're taking advantage of it. So I'm not gonna go and say, "Wow, they could catch up the Twins and nothing like that." But anything is possible. I don't know. It's baseball is. This is May 7th, and here we are talking about a 15-18 team. That about a month ago, the roof was on fire. Everybody was freaking out. It was just like this toilet was swirling. And honestly, I think for Tiger fans out there, I think the biggest takeaway I noticed this weekend too was Eric Haas is actually getting better behind the plate. He's catching a little better. I think he's framing better. And Jake Rogers, I just wish his bat was just a little more consistent because there's power in that bat, man, but it's just.
Well, you see it a little bit with Zach Short, too. I mean, Zach Short came up and had an awesome game, but then the other day, like four strikeouts, I think. It's just, there's certain guys that you just, they have the ability, but it's just not quite consistent enough. And you can't be going up there and striking out four times a game every game, which is why Rogers is getting limited playing time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they have to address what they're going to do in terms of getting another bat with some power in the lineup, because if main time, like I said, it's just Green and Torque. And that was another, Alex, thank you. I was just good. Thank you for reminding me. Green and Torque both had really good weekends. I think Green was like a 10 game hitting streak or something to that effect.
Yeah, I think he had it snapped today, but yeah. Torque had 2 hits, including a home run to just the right center. He's been playing well lately. Like you said, he had that really heady defensive play the other day. Yeah, I mean, if those guys pick it up, Javi Baez, he had the 2 errors today, but he's been really hitting well ever since he got benched. Those are the three guys, right? You need those three guys to produce consistently. If you get anything out of Miggy, like today, a couple hits, that's a bonus. Haas has been performing well, like you said. So, yeah, they're getting more consistent production. You'd love to see Maton do a little bit more at the plate. Vierling, you'd like to see a little bit more. He's been solid, though. We talked about McKinstry in our other show. It's a decent MLB lineup right now, if the guys are performing.
You know what's funny? You mentioned, what was it? I lost my train of thought now. Oh, crap. McKinstry's numbers were ridiculous, just how well he's performing. But Riley, I remember what it was now. Yesterday on Saturday, that was the first double of the year for Riley Green. Yesterday.
Yeah, double the night before, or was it a 2-run single?
It was Friday or Saturday. I would have sworn somebody said that was the first double he had all season yesterday. I was like, there's no way. And
he's been getting an awful lot of weak ground balls to the right side of the infield and more strikeouts than we'd like to see. But yeah, that one he caught a breaking ball from Hicks a couple games ago, right?
Yeah.
He's got two doubles this year, but they may have both come in the last three games. It may have been Friday and Saturday were his first doubles, because yeah, I thought he had a couple runs driven in on both nights. But yeah, you just need those guys to make the adjustments and get better. And we've always been high on Green's ability to adjust and figure things out. And hopefully Torque is figuring some things out. He's been hitting the ball hard. I know people are getting very tired of hearing that when the results haven't been there, but you just got to hope that someday the switch flips. And then he's the productive hitter that everybody wanted.
By the way, if we got two people talking about Southside of Chicago, I've been to a game there, a guaranteed rate field. I'm not going to wear a Tigers jersey ever again down there. I'm not going to wear any Tigers paraphernalia. I got yelled at by a couple Sox fans walking up, just minding my own business. And it was the first time I've been to a couple. That was my third game there. First two times I went without incident. But then, yeah, the third time we're walking up and these guys were like, get the F out of here, blah, blah, blah. And I was looking around like, me? But at any point, thank you so much.
Uh-oh.
Wow, Gatorade.
Is it in you?
Is it in me? No, it's allergies right now that are in me. And
yeah. I've never had allergies, but I'm feeling it right now for some reason. It just feels like there's something, right? It's gross. But.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Like, I feel, yeah, like I've been drinking a lot of water and Gatorade today. It's just, yeah. I don't know. My experience in you know what? Everybody in Southside was fine, but just that one time. That was it. So anyways, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you want to subscribe to our Patreon.com/Sacramento Report, we're going to have the StatCast article this week.
I didn't do it last week. Part of it was we did the top 25 article and I thought I'd let that thing simmer a little bit. And then also there was Jerry does miracles with our data, but for some reason there was a little bit of a hiccup this week and the data was taking their giant batches of data and it was taking longer than usual. We've switched out the average launch angle for sweet spot percentage, which I think people might dig more because that's, I think, a better indicator of who's hitting the ball well. So yeah, we'll get into that tomorrow or Tuesday, whenever I get it done.
Yeah, and there's going to be a Tiger Miley Report recap, which I've been doing over at Motor City Bengals, but I'm just going to start doing it on our site because why not? We need the site traffic. Well,
and I do think I want to do an E-Rod trade piece. Nobody wants to think about it right now because he's been pitching so well, but I do think it's worth considering.
It's an elephant in the room, too.
Probably going to happen, even though, you know, we don't want it to necessarily.
Yeah. The timing of Tanner Scoop. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We're going to have this up on iTunes in the morning for myself and Chris Brown. We'll talk to you on Thursday for the Motor City Metrics podcast. And that is, are they off Thursday? I can't remember.
I believe so.
Okay.
I think they're free in Cleveland and then they're coming home, I think. But look.
Yep, in Seattle. Yeah. So,
Cleveland, they are bringing the Mariners and Bryce Miller looks like the next Spencer Strider.
Yeah, that's money. So on that note, we'll talk to you Thursday. Have a good week, everybody.